Shall we bow our head and just talk to the Lord? Father, we thank you, Lord. We worship you. We adore you, Lord. You are the Almighty. And great things you have started in our lives. You are the only one that can complete that kind of project. It's a big project to make man in your image. In your image. In your image. And you did, Lord. But it looks like we are far from the perfect image, and you are still working on it to bring us to that fullness of the stature of Christ. Because that is the image that you had in the beginning, in your mind. Thank you, Lord, as you make us change from glory unto glory towards that image. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I'm glad today, and we're going to just, I'm glad that my brother Bassi just talk on some of the things that I have in my list here today that we wanted to talk about. The word of our mouth. Amen? I didn't know that he was going to talk on that. Maybe that shows that the Spirit of the Lord is one. The word of our mouth is what the Lord laid on my heart today to speak on. It's much more serious. Much more serious than the part that my brother said, where it's just that what we can claim. But it's much more serious as far as God is concerned. That is why he has laid it upon my heart to just talk on this. Let's start from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. Amen. It's going to be sort of like a teaching rather than a preaching, so that we can go through the word of God quickly and see how the Lord is going to guide us and build on this. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. I say the word of our mouth. God takes this is something that is much more serious for our own good. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life. 18:21. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And he that loveth it shall eat the fruit thereof. Praise the Lord. So when God said what we speak out of our mouth is just as dangerous to our own body, for we that are speaking it out. It said, life, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Praise ye the Lord. So that is what I want to talk about today. We can go to the book of James and just go through and see what James said about the words of our mouth. You know, in the last few sermons we have been preaching in this church, we have been talking about changing from glory unto glory, because that is the plan of God, is trying to bring us to that fullness of the stature of Christ. Now, you may say, changing, internal change is what we're talking about. The change that God has in mind is to bring us to that total surrender to Jesus, total yieldedness to God, total submissiveness to Jesus Christ. Now, this is one of the important things we need, is to change our way of speaking and what we speak out. And here is what Apostle James wrote in chapter 3 verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to breathe through the whole body. So it's in the words of our mouth we offend, even offending God also in the word of our mouth. That's why it's very important for us to watch what comes out of our mouth. Amen? Amen. Praise to the Lord. So when the Bible said the power of the tongue, it said life and death is right in the mouth, we need to watch it very carefully. Let me go through some few examples, because I love, in my sermons, I love to give stories. Because I look through the story, the life, the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, he actually gave parables, because it kind of, many people will remember the stories, and then later they can remember the moral of the story. And let me go through some few story examples of the mouth, how the mouth can be a snare for human beings. What comes out of our mouth can start wars, even in between nations and nations. From the Bible, we see from the examples from the Bible. So what comes out of our mouth can be a snare for your soul, like what our brother was just talking about, where you confess the deadly disease and can be a snare for you. So you better speak positively. So that is the example we are talking about. Here is 2 Kings chapter 7. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 7. And I will talk about a king in the days of Elisha the prophet. If you don't know the story, you can go through that chapter yourself and just read the story of there was famine in Samaria because the Syrian army, they surrounded the city of Samaria for almost 2 years, and until there was no more food left in the city, and people were already eating themselves. That was how devastated they were. But Elisha the prophet was also in the city praying for them. And we come to the last day when God was going to work miracle. Things were so bad. People were already eating one another. And the king sent a messenger to Elisha that looked like when the king heard that people were already eating one another, the king thought, it is God that is judging us. Why are we waiting on God? The king was so desperate. He said, if God is doing this to us, why are we waiting that God is going to do a miracle? So he sent messenger to Elisha. He said, go get rid of the prophets. And Elisha had a word for them because that was the last day before the miracle will happen. But the story we are talking about is the word of our mouth that is very serious, that God wanted to take very careful thought about what you say. It could be because, let me say this in a way. Most of the time we say good things, not that nobody wants to say bad things. Nobody wants to speak about doubt, but situations, circumstances, your feeling, you are hurt, you are afraid. That is what people respond to when they say what did we should do, they shouldn't have said. So that is what you have to watch out for. David the king had a word for us in that. He said, I will set a watch over my mouth when the wicked is before me. What's the wicked? The Satan, when the devil is around, then you are already aggravated, you're already angry, or afraid, or zeal, or anxious. Something is happening about you. That is when you want to keep your mouth shut. Because that is when evil words can come out. When you see things are not going right, and money is going down, and sicknesses are there, everything is going wrong, you don't want to say anything bad. That is when David said, I will keep a watch over my mouth. Because that is when you can hear. Very important. But when things are going good, not too many people will say bad stuff. So what we are reading in this story of Elisha, like I just described the scenario, you can go ahead and read it yourself. Things were bad. People were already eating themselves. And then the king came before Elisha, the prophet. He came with one of his second in command. He said, a lord that he always leaned on, the right-hand man of the king. They both came to the prophet Elisha. And Elisha has a word for them. He said, by this time tomorrow, wheat will be sold at the gate for just a penny, so to speak. Let's read it. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 2. From verse 1. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus hear the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. So now, that was a prophecy. But the word of the mouth of this man that was going to respond to Elisha the prophet is what I'm trying to point to you. Because when God said life, or death and life is in the power of the tongue, we want to wash our tongue. Wash what we say out in response to our feeling. Not just in response to the prophet, it's not a prophet, that's why I say that. That's not in response to your feeling. Because God is listening. The Bible says something. It said, when saints gather together and they speak one to another, what does the Bible say? A book of remembrance is open in heaven, which means God is listening to what you are saying one to another. Well, you say, well, it's not a saint. I can see whatever I like. No. Praise the Lord. Because you are a saint. If you say you are a saint, you are called to be a saint. So then don't let the word of your mouth ensnare you. Here is a lord on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be? He just doubted what the prophet said and also said it out to him, to the prophet. And the prophet answered him, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. Now, you know the old story if you have been familiar with the Bible. This man, that Elisha just put a word upon him that, hey, well, you will see with your eyes, but you won't eat it with your own mouth. That man saw it, because when the second day happened and they heard that there was food, because the soldiers, the enemy has fled, and these people have discovered that the enemy has fled, and they went to ransack the camps of the enemy and they got all the food. This second in command to the king was made to be in charge of the gates so that everything can be in order, but because of the crowd, he was mobbed and they trampled him to death. He saw it with his eyes but did not eat with his mouth. Why? Because a curse has already been placed upon him. A snare by his own mouth. That is one example of why the word of our mouth is very careful, serious, delicate. We have to wash it. Amen? Are you with me thus far? So I'm trying to bring this in a storytelling before I go to so many Bible verses on the other side of this chapter or story that will tell us that, hey, the Bible have a lot to say about the words of our mouth. What you confess for yourself is good. Yeah, I will prosper. That's just things. But it can also be dangerous if you say the other thing, the other side with your mouth. It can be just as bad. That's another story. I say it can even start wars. The word of your mouth can start wars. Say, well, I can't start a war. I'm just a nobody in this country. I can say whatever I like to say. No, don't say that. The words of your mouth can even bring blessings to a whole nation or to other people. So I can go through many examples. Let me give you this other example here. 2 Samuel chapter 10. Let's go to that. 2 Samuel chapter 10. Remember, we are talking about the word of our mouth. Because all these stories I'm pointing out, you can preach other things from these same stories. But I'm only just talking about the words of our mouth, how they can help us, they can start wars, they can cause snares. The word of our mouth. 2 Samuel chapter 10. This is the story of David the king, but this is not about David. This is about the king of Ammon, the Ammonites. From verse 1, it said, and it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. Now, I'm going to just paraphrase what went on in this story again. That was the story. There was another country there where David knew the king over there, and David was a great warrior, so he has conquered many countries, and that country also were more or less subject to him. But now there was this king of that country died, and David said, I'm going to be nice to his son. So David sent people to comfort the son of that king, who is now the new king. Now, watch what happened in this story. The servants of this king on that side wanted to give counsel. Counsel. What is counseling? It's words of your mouth. That's how you counsel somebody. Not so. So watch what you say to people when you are counseling them also. Amen? Because you're going to be held responsible. In fact, the Bible said, the Lord Jesus Christ said, every idle word that a man will speak, he shall give account of it in the last day. Every idle word. How much more? Counseling words. So if you don't know what to counsel, keep your mouth shut. Amen? Here are these people, they wanted to counsel their king about these servants of David that just came. And this is what they told him. And the prince, verse 3, and the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he has sent comforters unto thee? Has not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? In fact, they read bad meaning to these visitors. And that's sometimes you don't want to jump to conclusion. Even if you jump to conclusion in your mind, keep it in your mind. Sometimes when you say it out, that's when you err. Because that is what's happening here. If they suspect something and they just kept their mouth shut and let those people come in, the suspicious, you know, you can have visitors, you are not sure. Maybe they are good guys or not bad guys, you just keep your mouth shut, but you are watching. And they came and they left. Nothing happened. You say, thank God, nothing happened. But suppose you accuse them. And that's what happened in this story. Because it can happen in your own household. It can happen within you. It's when you open your mouth and say something, that's when you start a chain reaction. Amen? Because I have a sermon where I talk about chain reaction. It's in line with this story. You start a chain reaction from what you say also. And this is what they said to their king, that, hey, these men have not come to just comfort you. They were spies. And because of what he heard, so he arrested those men, cut off their clothes, make them shameful, and then send them away. Almost like make fool of them. And when King David heard that, this is how he treated, now that's war. War just started. You can start a war by the words of your mouth. You can start war by the words of your mouth. Praise the Lord. So when the Bible said death and life are in the power of the tongue, we have to watch what we say. Many women, many mothers will speak harsh words to their children that crush their soul for years. Many parents will do that. So you've got to watch what you are saying. Amen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let me give another story here. 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Now, I'm going to also make this so spiritual that you'll be almost scared. Let me make it a little bit spiritual so that if you take it seriously, that you will fear God. That's this third one I'm going to talk about. I want you to fear God. That is, sometimes, I've said it in many corners, I said, sometimes we don't know the force that is moving us. You don't know what comes upon you. That is what I mean, the force that is moving us. This is what you will see in this story of David. Because that is when sometimes you say this thing, you don't know that it's not coming from you, it's coming from another spirit that just came and attacked, that's why I say you don't know the force that is moving us. But if you have a gag on your mouth all the time, some of those spirits can tell, this one won't speak, they will avoid you. I was in a dream once, I was in a trance many times ago, many years ago. I was still in college in Nigeria then, and I was fasting, and I was I just slept down under a bush, and I saw two spirits came. Let's go give them some words, maybe some doctrine, maybe false doctrine. Those spirits just came. They wanted to give false doctrine. They saw this, and they said, this one won't talk. They said, this one won't talk. And I said, let's go to somebody else. Then I got a message that I got understanding. They are looking for mouths that can run. Or people that will always run to want to say something. And they will give you something to say. But what they will give you to say may be bad, evil, lies, false doctrine. But they are looking for easy prey, people that can't control their mouth. So that's why I said, sometimes we don't know the force that is moving us. And when you think you got it all right, and you think, well, this must be, I must say it as I feel, if something comes upon you, you know, sometimes it may not be from the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to give you two examples of that. Even in the front of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter, you know the story of Peter, Apostle Peter. He just gave a good testimony about Jesus. He said, whom do men say that I am? Everybody said, they said you are Elijah. They said you are this. But whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, well, thou art the Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, well done. Flesh and blood has not revealed to you, but my Father has revealed to you. Satan just got that. Peter is the man. See, Peter ran quickly behind the back of Peter. Rex next to, immediately after that, Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ was telling them he's going to go to the cross. Satan quickly put a word in the mouth of Peter. He's the man right now. Peter didn't know what force is moving him. He just started rebuking Jesus. You see it in the story. It's in Matthew. He said, that will not happen to you, my Lord. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. I'll come back to 2 Samuel in a moment, but I digress to Matthew because that of 2 Samuel is in similar fashion. You do not know the force that is moving you sometimes. But if you have a gag upon your mouth, most of the time, the devil knows he may not be able to make you speak because you suppress what's coming out in your mind. You can suppress it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22 and 23 is the one I just talked about, Peter. Then Peter took him after the Lord told him about he is going to the cross in the verse 21. And that was just after the fact that Peter has just testified that you are the Messiah, the Christ, in the earlier verses. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Well, why do you think this one, what he said was so serious? Well, what he meant was that, trying to correct the Lord Jesus, was trying to correct him. Oh, speak positive for yourself, Master. Speak positive. Like that's another way some people may say, this won't happen to you. This is negative. Oh, don't be. And Christ looked back and said, gee, that's not from the Spirit of God. And the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Which means Satan has snaked behind Peter. Satan speaking, not Peter. Sometimes we don't know the force that is moving us. But if you gag your mouth, the devil say, I can't make this one fall, make one talk, he will move away. So that's an example of how the mouth can be a snare to people. The same in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1 to 4 that we're just about to read. Here is the story of King David. And we all know how David was so mightily used by God. But here is something that happened. Exactly according to what Apostle James was telling us, that we masters, we are going to have greater condemnation. What do you mean masters? People that stand up here and try to teach. Or rulers. David was a king. Or he can say this and they have to do it. But you see, there's a greater responsibility. Because you are responding, you are under an higher authority that is watching all these things. Here is King David in 2 Samuel chapter 24. Something came upon David and he wanted to do, and he commanded the people and he said in verse 1, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. Well, a king should be able to say that, but God has reasons why some things should be done and why some things should not be done. And King David said it to Joab, the captain of the host, which was, go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba and number ye the people that I may know the number of the people. So David wanted to conduct a census of this country. And he said, okay, let's go do it. And the captain of the host said, well, why do we need to do this? But because he's the king, he wanted his authority to be done. And they have to do it. But the Bible said something else was moving David. And that is how I'm trying to point out in this story. The word of his mouth, yeah, but who put this word in his mouth? Who put this idea in his head that make him to say it? And they're trying to say, no, we don't want to do it. He insisted, and he did. And we know the rest of the story that there was a plague in the land because of that census. In 3 days, thousands were dead because God said, well, you have done something that is not right. You may say, why would God say, David, go do it, and then God punish him? Now, if you go to the other section, the Bible says it's Satan that rose up against Israel and make David do that. So, in 2 Samuel, it was saying it was God. But when we go to Chronicles, of the same story, it says it was Satan that stood up against Israel. So, what I'm saying in that story is, we do not know the force sometimes that is moving us. And then you should just be careful and fear God. Tremble at his word. And then guard your mouth. Praise the Lord. Let us guard our mouth. Because life and death, they are in the power of the tongue. 1 Samuel chapter 25. It's the story of another man, not a ruler, but in his own house. Verse 10 to 11, I'll just point to this. He also speaks some things that put him in trouble. First Samuel chapter 25, I'm going to run along quickly. In verse 10 and 11 here, this is the story of a rich man, Nabal. I'm just going to point to what he was feeling, how he felt about the situation around him made him speak like this. And it almost destroyed him and his whole household because of what he said. The power of our tongue. Let's watch it. Verse 10 of chapter 25, 1 Samuel. This was the time when David the king, before he became king, he was running on in the jungles, hiding from King Saul. And then because him and his friends and about 600 soldiers with him that were hiding, they were like what you call fugitives. So they were fugitives from the real government. So anybody knows that in any country where there are fugitives and there are almost like political division in the country, some people will side with the king, some will side with the rebels. Let's call them rebels. Like American government, we always call those other countries those we call themselves freedom fighters. While the people that supported the king, the current government, we call them rebels. Okay. But this is what was going on in Israel. So David would be classified as rebels, so hiding in the jungle with about 600 soldiers. But the current king, King Saul, with his soldiers, were looking for David. So you can see that the country will be the some will support the king, mostly the older people, while some they like the new man that was trying to be that they call rebels. So that was the political mindset that was going on when David sent his servants to this rich man to get some food. So you can read between the lines that rich man was one of them perhaps that supported the king. And he responded to David's men very harshly. In verse 10, after they came to the king, to this neighbor, David's young men came and asked him that, hey, David said, well, we heard that you're having a party. Can you give us some of this food? And neighbor answered him in verse 10 and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have given for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? In short, he just lambasted them, tell them to get lost. And what he said there was his tongue, the word of his mouth. He just put danger upon his life because David was so angry. He came with those 400 soldiers to come and destroy this man and all his cattle and all his goats. And they get their sword. They were soldiers. And they were ready to come and kill him and his family and all that he has that day because of the power of his mouth. So that is an example of why we have to wash over our mouth. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the New Testament. The Lord, I'm saying this word of our mouth is much more serious than just claiming blessings, which is when you speak positive, you get some blessings. But you be watchful because you don't want to put snares upon our head. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Lord gave us some warnings here in chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. Solomon said, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Praise the Lord. Yesterday we were in the graduation ceremony of our sister and some of our young people that were graduating from Grand Canyon State University. And one of the, I think the guy that was being given the honorary degree was giving something in line with it. He said something about, I've heard it from other speakers. We have 2 ears and we have 1 mouth, which means you should listen more and talk less. Amen? I just said I threw that in like an extra. See, we have 2 ears, so that God intended us to listen more. 1 mouth. 2, so you should do more listening and talk less. Amen? So this is what God is telling us in chapter 5 here, verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Let thy words be few. And verse 1 that we've read earlier on said, be more ready to hear, that is more ready to listen than to speak. Amen? And he went further in verse 3. He said, a dream comes through the multitude of business. A fool's voice is known by a what? Multitude of words. And we all have to watch about that. When you are talking, talk less. When you are angry, even talk even lesser and lesser. Because when you are angry, angry words will be bringing the curses that God said, bless and not curse. Amen? So very important for you to watch for that. In verse 6, is where I'm going. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Again, he's saying, don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. That's what you speak can make you sin. He said, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. That is, from many words we can sin, from speaking too much. Not thinking of what you are saying before you say it, you may be in danger. Here's an example. In Luke chapter 1, we see the story of somebody that say unto an angel of God. So when God say before an angel, it's not just saying before men, even before God. Watch what you say. In Luke chapter 1, we see the story of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Many of us know the story. It's just the word of your mouth can put you in danger if you're not careful. Just as it can bring blessing. In fact, I remember a pastor that said, as you say it, you're actually building moisture If you are cursing, you are building a mansion of curses, cloud of evil upon you. If you are blessing, you are speaking blessing, you are building a cloud of blessing upon you. And whatever you are blessing, whatever you are cursing, you are doing something, you better be careful that you are not building clouds of curse upon yourself or upon anybody. Praise the Lord. Here is Luke chapter 1, verse 18. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was met by an angel in the temple just to come and tell him about the birth of John the Baptist. And he spoke to the angel. Spoke his doubt to the angel. That's what God is saying. Don't let your mouth, don't suffer your mouth to cause thy body to sin. In verse 18, Zechariah said unto the angel, that's Luke chapter 1, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. He was doubting what the angel told him, that you are going to have a son by the name of John. And God is going to bless him. He's going to go before God. And he spoke back. So you may say, well, I just doubted. God forgive me. But God says, you have been taught. He said, to whom much is given, much is required. So the more we know, the more we should begin to put them in practice. This is an example. God gave a great judgment on this man that doubted because he was expected to be a priest, a leader, greater condemnation. So remember that. We have learned a lot. We need to watch what comes out of our mouth. And we know the rest of the story. The angel told him, well, if you don't believe me, you'll be dumb. And he was dumb for about 10 months. He said, until the baby is born, he said, you will not be able to speak. And it happened to him. That's another example of why I said it's much more serious than what we are thinking about. So the words of our mouth, we need to wash over it. Now, what is the reason why all of these things are very important? Take, for example, when the Holy Ghost came, what was the first thing the Holy Ghost took over? When you get the Holy Ghost in the day of Pentecost, they spoke with tongues. Amen? God controlled, wanted to take control of your tongue if you will let him. Praise the Lord. Praise he the Lord. And another thing that I remember is this. You know, when you are encouraging people to speak in tongues, after you say, you know, say it, you know, just release your tongue. It's not as easy as just release your tongue, but it's easy. Let the Holy Ghost flow through. It's just going to move your tongue. The Holy Ghost will move your tongue himself when it's come upon you, and he's going to begin to speak in tongues. But the first thing to do is to release that tongue. Let him control it, not you controlling it. But that is what God wants to do. He wants to control our tongue, so that we can avoid all this evil that we are talking about, because the power of life and death is in the tongue, in the power of the tongue. Amen? So the Holy Ghost came first, and he wanted to take control of our tongues. And Apostle James make it clear why that is necessary in James chapter 3 that we are trying to read. He said, that is how you control horses. Amen? If you want to control a horse, they put a bridle in his mouth and jack him around to turn his head to wherever he wants to go. And we are like horses. We are like wild horses for God. Because God wants to ride upon these sons of God. He wants to be in us. He wants to ride upon us from the cloud of God's presence. That's God riding upon his horses. Instructions will come. And we are to obey those instructions. But if God speaks to you and he say, turn right, and you say, no, I've got to go straight. Turn right, and I've got to go straight. Then you are like a horse that needs to be jerked. Because that is what the bridle is in the mouth of the horse for. And that was what James was saying. He said that a horse, they put bridles in their mouth to turn them around. Even the sheep, in the little mouth of the sheep, they turn the sheep around. And that is what God is saying. Be not like the horse or like the mule that has no understanding, that he has to jack you around with pain to make you listen. He wants to control us. I mean, the tongue is the first thing he wants to take control of, so that you don't speak evil. And you bless always. And there are blessings to go along with that. Praise the Lord. Here, some solutions as we wrap it up. Some solutions. Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. Here is David saying, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. So which means the mouth is serious, like we're saying. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. And this is what the Lord say about the words of our mouth in Psalm 50. Just to point to the fact that it's just as serious as I'm saying, and we need to take it seriously. In Psalm 50, this is what God says about the wicked. Whom did God call the wicked? Verse 16, Psalm 50, verse 16. Here is what God says. Whom did God call the wicked? But unto the wicked God said. See, God is talking to anybody. God can say, this fellow is a wicked person. What has he done? Why do you call him wicked? What has he done? Here is what he has done. God said, what hast thou to do to declare my status? Declaring. The wicked is saying something. Or that thou should take my covenant in thy mouth. The wicked is still using his mouth for something. When thou sawest a thief, thou consented with him and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil. Why is he talking about mouth? Is it the only thing the wicked is doing? Yes, God listens to what is coming out of the mouth. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if God wants to see how you are, he listens to what you are saying out of your mouth. And this is what he's saying he heard from the mouth of the wicked. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest. What slander? Mouth talking again. Thy own mother's tongue. See, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thought I was altogether the same like you. So God is saying the only wicked, the thing that the wicked does, because of the heart is full of wickedness, the mouth will say it out. The logicals talk about what can defile a man. Because we want to be like Christ. Not so. We are to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. But he said, it's not what we eat. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. It is what comes out of the mouth. You know, when we are little, we thought it means that you shouldn't throw up. No, it's not talking of what you throw up or your food. He said, from the heart, the mouth speaks. And he started telling us in, let's see, where he said that in Matthew, where he said, from the heart, the mouth speaks. This is what comes out of the mouth. And he wants you to control that mouth, Matthew chapter 15. This is what comes out, and that part of it is what defiles the mind. So from the heart comes lying, adultery, because you have to plan it, you have to execute it with the mouth also, talking about it, and taking the steps. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. He said, these are the things that defile a man, not what comes into his mouth, into his heart, but what comes out of his mouth. Matthew chapter 15, verse 17 said, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and it's cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So it's what's coming out of our mouth. He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Murders. He said, well, how can murder be from the mouth? Because he said, even if you curse somebody, you're already guilty of murder. Adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. See, these are the things which defile a man. So God is talking about what comes out of our mouth. We need to wash and make sure that we don't let any of those things come out of our mouth. Praise the Lord. And some more Bible verses. Let's go to some Bible verses. These are some of the solutions we need to work on to keep ourselves from getting the words, evil words out of our mouth. Colossians chapter 3, as I wrap it up, Colossians chapter 3, in verse 8, this is what Apostle Paul is telling us. This is how we can keep our mouth from talking evil. You have to put off the old man. And this is some of the things he said. But now ye also put off all this, because when these are inside, it will make the mouth speak the way you don't want to speak. When you feel one way, the mouth will want to speak that way. But if you speak as you feel, you most likely are going to err. You have to control what comes out of your mouth, even when you are feeling horrible inside. So put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. When you can control what comes out of your mouth is by controlling what is in your heart, then you'll be able to speak the right kind of words that will not be a snare unto you. Then you'll be able to speak the blessings, like our brother said. Speak the blessings from your mouth always. Bless and curse not. God commanded us. Bless and curse not. Because what comes out of your mouth is power of life and death. Praise the Lord. There is another Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, David gave us another hint on this. Psalm 73, I will read verse 15. Now, David was describing how things were around him, how horrible he was feeling. Like I said, if you are feeling horrible, you are feeling so bad, control what comes out of your mouth, especially when you are talking to God or talking to people. Why? Because it is from your words that you can be offending God. Remember the story of Job. He was so full of trouble, but the Bible said in all those trouble, Job did not charge God foolishly, because God is waiting to hear him say something. When God knocked him down, rolled him over, took all his things away, God wanted to hear him say, "I curse you, God." No, he didn't. And that's all the test. And God said, "Job passed." Very important. David was telling us Psalm 3, all these things he said he went through, and he saw the wicked people were prospering, and he was being punished by God and just trying to chastise him every day. Anything he did, God is spanking him all around. And he said in verse 15, "If I say, I will speak thus." Verse 14 said, "For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." He was complaining that, look at the wicked are prospering. Look at that man, he's cursing God and he's rich, blessing. Somebody said, "We don't need God here. We are rich. Go talk to the poor people." You say, "Well, and they are prosperous." And you, David said, "I look at the whole world, everybody's prospering." He said, "But me, I'm just being bombarded by all these things." He said, "If I say I will speak like this," the way he was feeling, he said, I will. That's what he's saying. "If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children." That is, if David have reported all of those things and said, "God, you doesn't think you are doing this right," then we'll be thinking, well, maybe that's how God is. He said, "I don't want to err and offend the generations coming after." Because we are looking at the life of David and seeing how he was blessed by God. But whatever he was going through, it was test. So control what's coming out of your mouth, especially when you are in trouble. Especially when things are not going right. Especially when the Lord is testing you. Because the only way you can hear is by speaking harsh words. Story of Job. Job chapter 2. Read that verse. He said, "In all these things, Job did not hear. He did not charge God foolishly." To really make you know what the devil wanted Job to do, the devil put it in the mouth of his wife. Job chapter 2. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 22, let me read that first. The Bible said, "In all this," that is, in all the trouble Job went through, "Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." He did not charge God foolishly. And all this trouble came upon Job, God wanted to see him stand firm, because the devil said, "He will curse you to your face. Let me do this to him." And he did not curse God. He just kept his mouth mute. In fact, the devil went around to tell Job what the devil wants Job to say. And that's why he went through his wife and said, then his wife, in verse 9 of chapter 2, then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." Well, that's when I say, sometimes we do not know the power that is moving us. That woman didn't say out of her own. The devil went, once you look around, things are not right. They have lost everything. And her husband is dying. And she couldn't contain it anymore. Put yourself in her shoe. She couldn't contain it anymore. And the devil said, "Well, I got that woman where I wanted her." The devil just tell him this. And he just couldn't control his mouth too. He said, "Curse God, we've suffered enough." But why didn't she curse God? No, she wanted Job, because that's the devil. God is not testing the woman. God was testing Job. And somebody has to tell Job what the devil wanted him to do. And the devil wanted Job to do something. The nearest person that can tell Job is his wife. So he went through his wife and said, "Curse God, and that's all I want you to do." And Job said, "No, can we receive?" He said, "You see, thou speaking like one of those foolish women. Shall we not receive evil? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips?" Amen? That's why we are saying he did not sin with his lips. What are we saying? The word of our mouth is what is God is telling us to be careful of. When you are going to things, trouble, trial times, if you can padlock your mouth, padlock it. Amen? If that may be your salvation, padlock it and just say, Lord, I cannot say anything. I don't know what's going on, Lord. I'm in your hand. I don't know what's going on, Lord. And the time is here for that to begin to happen. I was talking, I'm just going to wrap it up with this. I was talking yesterday to somebody who asked me that question in this party. He said, what is the Lord showing to you recently about what's going on? I said, well, wait a minute. Actually, I was saying, what is the Lord showing about this election? I said, well, I don't know what I've not even asked from the Lord because I just love watching the American political system. I love just watching it, see how it's going to play out. But I said, look at this. We have had prophecies. We have had things. We are watching for signs, and those signs are lined up, four of them. The signs of the earthquakes. We, many of us that have been following the prophecies of the end time, they said there will be a big one in California. It's been prophesied in the 30s. So we have heard about it. Now in the news, they said it's going to happen in the next 30 years. So they are not putting time on it. It's going to happen, the big quake in California. I said, that's a track we are watching. And then there have been prophecies, not from me, from many prophets, Brad Frisbee, William Branham, many people. They said there will be a powerful woman will rise up in this country. Well, we are seeing a powerful woman running for presidency. See, that's another track we are watching. And I said, well, we saw also that the prophecy said economic crisis. In fact, Neil Frisbee always used the word inflationary depression is coming. So economic crisis is coming, and that will be how the man of sin will take over the world in trying to bring solution. I said, we are seeing the first ever economic crisis coming to not just America, the whole world. So we are seeing another track. So we see three parallel tracks. And then the fourth one, we also know that during these terrible things, the Bible said when the quakes will be happening, that's when God will be making this mighty revival that will take place among his people. And 2008, God has begun to tell us to begin to move. And we are beginning to see revival is coming. It's coming. We are just entering the water of it. So that's another track. From those four tracks, we know the end is near. So we need to do what? Look up for your redemption right now. Amen? Now, if we are looking up, what should we be doing? Get yourself closer and closer and closer and closer and closer still to the Ancient of Days, the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is Holy. And how do we become holy? This is one of them, my brethren. The word of our mouth, wash over it. Why? Because he just mentioned it here. He said, this is how I know the wicked. Out of their mouth, all their evil things coming out. It doesn't say the wicked is only robbing banks. See, they are just speaking slander. They are cursing. All of those things are just as evil in the eyes of God as bank robbers. Amen? And then this is what he said we should be using our mouth to do. The same chapter 50 of Psalms. This is what we should be using our mouth to do. Even when things are going bad, use your mouth to do this. In chapter 50, the last few verses, this is what he said. Consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces. That's what God said in verse 22. Now, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise. Praise, that's from your mouth also. Begin to praise God. Even when things are not good, you praise him anyway. Then you are glorifying God. And then what more? And to him that ordereth his conversation aright. What do you mean by conversation? Order your conversation aright. The words of your mouth again. The words of your mouth again. Then will I show the salvation of the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is what we should be using our mouth to do. Let's stand up to our feet. Begin to order your conversation aright. Begin to keep the guard over your mouth, that because that will be your holiness. Amen? That will be your holiness. And let's talk to the Lord and say, Lord, put a wash over my mouth, O Lord. Because in the days when troubled times will come, many people will deny Christ by just saying it out. In the days of the era, they say Nero. They bring the Christians, and all you need to do is to just confess that this Jesus is nothing to you and Nero is your king. You may say, well, I will just know in my heart that, well, I love Jesus, but you want to say with your mouth that Nero is king or is God? Well, if you say that Emperor Nero is God, you can't say, well, I can keep this in my heart and say the bad one from my mouth. No. Because from the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. So you must control what comes of your mouth. Amen. You must control what comes out of your mouth. If I say I believe in Jesus, I just can't open my mouth and say, well, because of the situation, I will now say opposite. You cannot say opposite. You cannot say opposite. You still have to confess Jesus, like say you believe him. And there will be a time when it's only by that confession. In fact, they overcame the dragon by what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. No matter what that will bring to us, we must speak the word of our testimony, because it's going to come to that in the last days. So let's begin to pray. Just pray to the Lord. Talk to the Lord yourself and say, Lord, I never think this is as serious before that I should wash my mouth, wash over it in what comes my way, whether in anger, in frustration, or in joy and gladness, to be careful of what I utter for. Because when God brings these tests and blasts us on the right and the left, he wants to hear what will come out of our mouth. Are we going to blast God back? Or are we going to just praise him anyway? And praise him anyway. No matter what you are going through, praise him anyway. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. And we know, Lord Jesus, that nobody can pass this test except you declare us passed. And that's why we are trusting in you, that you will see us through. Even in the word of our mouth, you will see us through. We want to change us from glory unto glory. Yes, that's why you are telling us about all these things, so that we can wash unto our ways. Say, whosoever ordereth his conversation aright, help us to order our conversations aright, so that we are speaking right words to ourselves, to our next door neighbor, to our partners, to our children, to even when we are not feeling good, when things are bad, help us to be able to control our emotions enough to speak blessings and not curses. To praise the Lord always, no matter what we are going through. Because then God said, these are my people. Because that was the challenge between God and Satan about Job. He said, well, because everything is good, let me touch him. Now you will see how he will curse you. And he touched him, but God said Job did not curse. He did not shout God. He did not sing with his lips. So when we are going through hard times and things are not bad, help us, Lord, not to shout you foolishly. To be humble enough to say, Lord, thy will be done. You gave us the story of the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. When things are bad and he says he has to go to this cross, he just keep his mouth mute. That was why the Lamb of God was like dumb before the slaughters, before the shearers. He opened not his mouth because he was feeling fear, panic, all that you can think of, seeing the cross right before him, like any of us could feel when things are bad. But if we keep our mouth and just commit our hands, our life into his hand, the one that seeth all things, then we win out. Help us to win out, Lord Jesus. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I hope you get something from this. Give us a song. Brother, come over.